The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar, discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
What a great topic for the smell that's in this room right now. Marcus,
can you
are so safe in this Skype.
Oh my
You're
God.
You're so safe
you
in there.
You are ridiculous.
It smells like Kissel. It smells like you burned an orangutan in the bathroom.
That is puff and farted, okay?
Are you putting them on the bowl?
Ben, I would like to say that yes, it was me that farted. It was not Ben. As a matter of fact, Ben's farts only smell like the greatest cotton candy.
Puffin can talk.
Yes, he can. And he tells no lies. I can't believe what you've done to me.
Change Puffin's diet.
I remember Puffin talking quite a bit when we were still recording in New York.
Yep. What? I'm the only single guy here, and you guys are trying to throw me under the proverbial bus.
No, Kissel, listen. Every single time.
I didn't take a dump in the freaking corner. It was in the bathroom.
Every single time. Time we talk about one of these issues of yours, there's always
it's not
a woman.
An issue.
You just know there's a. It helps you because there's a woman out there who's like, I can fix him.
Oh my God, it's called reproductive. not reproductive waste. That's like a whole nother thing. Oh my God,
I'll build a whole new daddy when I get
you. I'm gonna kill you, and I'm taking a plane, and I'm gonna go kill you, Marcus.
Okay.
Wow, welcome to the
cool. Thank you.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with the ghost of Henry and the ghost of Marcus, because this episode's 3 weeks in the future, and I have made true to my promise to Mirdare. Thanks to all for being with us this week, and we want to send a special thank you to the Roundtable Facebook group.
Facebook actually did something good. Yeah,
but they sponsored and were able to finance a plaque at the St. Louis Bird Sanctuary for Bird Luger for Kevin Barnett, and it's really sweet and it's awesome. So thank you so much.
Well, technically they did it 2 years ago and it just got placed, which is incredible.
It's
out there now. It's absolutely, it really did make us all emotional in a way that I'm not comfortable.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that Kevin taught, and I was trying to reflect, and I said, what did Kevin teach me that I continue to do today? He treated everyone that he met any time in his life, he treated them with respect and dignity.
Always.
And whether it was a friend that you met at the first open mic, he would stay your friend no matter what happened.
Absolutely. You didn't even just have a juicy butt.
No, he didn't.
To be his friend. He liked you better if you had one.
Well, you could. That's why he liked me so much, because of my Wisconsin German tush that was flat but yet large. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just something to remember when it comes to the relationships you have in life. Make sure that you keep them, because Kevin was just so good at that. And especially in this industry of ours, a lot of social climbers, a lot of people who talk to folks who can help them out. And then as soon as they can't, they say, you're dead to me. He just wasn't like that.
He
never did that, and he was a superstar in every sense of the word. So thank you so much, and treat people with respect, just like Kevin would. All right.
A friendship is a garden.
And sometimes you take a piss Kissel, in it, like you just did with me?
Kissel sometimes spreads manure on the garden.
I'm actually truly upset. I'm actually mad at both of you. I'm actually now mad at both of you.
I can fix him. I know his butt won't be like that when I'm done feeding him.
I'm doing dry January. I'm eating really well. I'm trying to eat vegetables.
That's great.
That's great. Congratulations.
And, you know what, and honestly, with the lack of alcohol in your diet, but with the extra fibers in your diet, you might actually be you might just be a candidate for the situation we're talking about today.
All right. So what are we talking about today? Of course, the topic is spontaneous human combustion.
Perfect.
Thank you all.
I can fix him.
Can you stop? I don't need to be fixed. I take care of two dogs.
I'll give him a baby.
Shush.
Spontaneous human combustion, called SHC to those in the know, is a highly debated phenomenon in which a human bursts into flames without any external source of ignition, almost always with fatal results.
Now, SHC is not the type of fire you burst into like when you see like Yonce on the Super Bowl and you go, Yon! Like, it's not that type of burst into energy. It's an all-consuming fire that starts in your torso and leaves only your feet and your hands.
Well, that's not bad. That's why, just in case it happens, I always keep a little bit of chocolate and a little bit of marshmallow and a small stick to put them together with and a graham cracker. Just in case my friend becomes a bonfire, I want to have something to eat. And I would love to consume food off of your burning flesh, Henry.
God, Polish smoked.
How does it taste like sausage? It's a marshmallow. Mm. Mm.
Now, skeptics say that most, if not all, of purported SHC cases are merely instances of investigators overlooking an obscure ignition source. But others maintain that spontaneous human combustion is a phenomenon that could happen to any of us.
Oh, it's God. Almost like they want us to think it. You know what I mean? Like, they want us to be so afraid of our own bodies that they're like, so that's why we're going to tell you what to do with them.
With any luck, they should have just killed JFK this way. Just light him up.
I mean, honestly, he was on enough pills. He was soaked with alcohol. He had the fucking... he wasn't fat enough. Well, the thing about SHC... Yeah.
You gotta be fat.
You do?
It's about... you gotta be a big person because that's where the fuel comes from.
Oh. Well, we'll get into that. We'll definitely get into the fat fuel later.
I can't wait to get into the fat fuel. But also, can you imagine being a skeptic of this? Just someone... burst into flame in front of you, and you're just like, eh. They apparently had a faulty lighter.
That's their job,
it's like,
though,
oh
to be
my
bummers.
God, can you just please say, wow, holy shit, that guy became a star?
Every fire marshal's a fucking bummer, because everything has to be
why?
Rational
well,
and like be able to
skeptic?
Put on a form, not- because they go in there, because you can't just say, the demon came through the Ouija board. Like, he doesn't want to hear that shit.
It doesn't have to be a demon from a Ouija board, but it also doesn't. Like, I just hate the idea that everything needs a skeptic. Not everything needs a skeptic. Sometimes... just let it be. Sometimes people just blow up.
Quiet miracle. It's just spontaneous human combustion. A quiet miracle.
Well, one believer actually said that SHC is not as rare as we might think. Instead, he called it merely uncommon, citing one doctor from the 50s who said that he ran across a case of spontaneous human combustion about once every 4 years.
All right, first
here
of all,
comes around every leap year. I know I'm going to get some fat woman burst into flames every single time. I gotta do my fucking pageantry vote for the fucking quote-unquote puppeteer in charge.
Wow, I love Dr. Drunk on Leap Year.
I didn't sign nice. My driver's license, so I'm not a citizen of this country.
Now, we'll definitely get into the skeptic's point of view on all this, but before we get to that, let's see what the SHC chapter from my Mysteries of Mind, Space, and Time collection had to say about spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, let me just open up your book really quick. Whoop. You're going to die a virgin? What the hell chapter is this? Whoop. I'm going to close that.
Ben, it is a 22-volume collection.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
That is full of quite a bit of interesting and esoteric knowledge.
And it's changed, because it used to be Mysteries of Mind, Space, and Time. That used to make you a virgin, but now, honestly... highly fuckable material.
So it's like encyclopedia.
Especially to have the whole thing.
It's like Encyclopedia Britannica for like the Addams Family.
Cool. Yeah. Holy shit, Kissel. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I like all right.
I got my Mysteries of Mind, Space, and Time collection right next to my collection of Man, Myth, and Magic. So I got one hell of a fucking Encyclopedia Britannica going on over here.
You got the library of like a goth girlfriend who's excited to thumb through. You know what I mean? Like an idea of like a 24-year-old covered in mesh.
Yeah, why not?
So according to Mysteries of Mind, Space, and Time, spontaneous human combustion is a phenomenon that occurred most frequently during the olden days, from the 1700s through the Victorian era, although the first recorded instance was hundreds of years previous. A written account exists of a knight named Polonus Vorstius, who, in the 15th century, came home to enjoy a few glasses of strong wine with his family.
Drink it, daughter, drink it!
Yes, indeed.
It was written that suddenly, Polonus began to belch fire.
That's sweet.
Then proceeded to burst into flames and burn to death right in front of his parents.
Fuck wow. Yeah, like fucking Gabriel Byrne from Hereditary, man. That's fucking rules.
And that wine went on to be Mad Dog 2020 Apple.
Isn't that nice? Love Mad Dog.
Now, the Polonus story, as fantastical as it might seem, introduces an element that is common and almost essential to the majority of spontaneous human combustion cases. Alcohol.
Whoa!
Well, now we can look at this from at least a somewhat scientific point of view. But in the Victorian era, spontaneous human combustion was seen as the divine retribution of God visited upon drunken sinners.
It was done by, in the Temperist group, that whole society, they're in the middle of, especially Dickensian London.
Lame-os.
They specifically were trying to fight, the temperance movement wanted to basically paint this idea that if you consume too much alcohol, that made you layabout.
Right.
Then you also become human charcoal and you like randomly burst into flames. And it went so far that it actually got into a Charles Dickens novel that he wrote. And he actually, I forgot what was the name of the novel.
I think it's Crooked House.
Crooked House.
Ah, yes. I was Bleak thinking House. Crook. Bleak I was House. Thinking Bleak yeah. House.
It was Bleak House.
Bleak House. That's what I was thinking. Mr. Yeah. Crook, I think, was
Mr.
the name
Crook.
Of the
was one of the main characters,
but
sure.
Also, in a weird example of the times then reflecting now, was that he was actually accused by critics of spreading misinformation about spontaneous human combustion inside of like his novels. It was like
I am doing Dry January, but I must defend something when it comes to booze. Most people spontaneously combust when they fall asleep smoking cigarettes.
It seems okay.
Very rarely is it just from the booze.
However, there's another important factor that plays into most cases of spontaneous human combustion. Age.
Oh.
See, many of the people who die from suspected cases of spontaneous human combustion are of the elderly persuasion, or at least in their senior years, 60 and above. And many of those are also women.
It's because what people don't know is that breasts are super flammable.
Really?
You ever tried?
To light mine up? I haven't yet.
I mean, my breasts are just waiting to pop.
I can't wait to see you burst up. I'm getting my Snickers bar ready right now.
Feel how physically warm my breasts are right now.
A slightly melted Snickers bar is actually good. Put it in the microwave for 4 seconds.
What?
It's really
like eating a log of shit. I like it in the car.
What does your shit taste like? Your shit tastes like a Snickers bar?
It is the consistency of it. When do you just squeeze it out of the fucking thing into your mouth?
First of all, Marcus, you enjoy British food unironically. You truly think it's the best food on earth, so you're out of this competition. And you eat like the penises of whales. You eat food that should not have ever been killed because it was killed illegally.
You mean a winner's food? Top of the pyramid, eat any part of that I want kind of food? Yeah, it's just
warm nugget, nougat, chocolate, peanuts, and caramel. If that doesn't sound good to you, you're not a human being.
It tastes like shit. It doesn't taste like shit. Every lump of nut
in your mouth. Okay, Mr. De Niro, how much shit have you eaten?
You're saying that Bobby eats shit?
There are some theories out there.
Well, concerning the elderly women, take, for example, the case of the 62-year-old Countess Cornelia Bandy, died 1731. Not necessarily elderly, but she's about to get the discount at the movie theater.
Oh.
According to a statement, the Countess was put to bed after supper and finally fell asleep after several hours of scintillating conversation with her maid.
Tell me, maid. Do you think if Morlemp was alive, she would love me?
Yes, I am your large male maid.
Wouldn't it be such a delight if every time I went to sleep, everything in the house came alive?
Alive.
They started singing and dancing, and then that's what happens.
Like a Walt Disney film.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, now give me my sleep licks.
Okay, yes. Are you done, ma'am?
No. Now go to the other side.
Tastes like a Snickers bar, ma'am.
But according to an account published in Gentleman's Magazine, that maid was met the next morning by a grisly scene. It said, quote,
"The floor of the chamber was thick smeared with a gluish moisture, not easily got off, and from the lower part of the window trickled down a greasy, loathsome, yellowish liquor with an unusual stink.
Honestly, great descriptors. That was greasy, yellowish.
They pay by the word.
Yuck.
Well, the Gentleman's Magazine article went on to say that a pile of ashes were found 4 feet from the bed, and the only parts of the Countess Bandy left were her legs, feet, head, and 3 fingers.
Cool.
All the rest, it said, were ashes that, quote, left in the hand a greasy and stinking moisture.
That's my name is Devin. I was her maid for a long time, and I have to say, ironically, those were her 3 favorite fingers. She always told me to use those fingers after I did the cleaning lick. This is disgusting. Man. I apologize
you
to
did
everyone.
This. That greasy and stinking moisture is called rendered human fat.
Yep. Oh, that's what that is,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, from what the article said, it appeared as if the Countess's torso had disintegrated where she stood, and her skull had simply dropped into the pile of ashes below.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
So she was standing up as she combined. Is that the common pose?
We'll see.
Okay.
But even more interesting than that was the fact that the bed, where the fire had presumably started, was unburnt, and the room itself was almost totally undamaged, besides, of course, the smell.
Yeah, you gotta get in one of those old-fashioned Yankee candles in there.
Honestly, what kind of Yankee candle would be strong enough? You have the scent of human skin burning, hair burning.
Well, my favorite
all
Yankee
of the
candles.
Defecation that happens.
My favorite Yankee candles are Dracar Noir, roast beef, and peanut butter dog hair. Anything that covers
peanut butter dog. If someone knows what peanut butter dog hair smells like, you need to never have a dog again. And honestly, you're not allowed to buy peanut butter anymore. Isn't that weird?
Another case, which actually has quite grisly photographic evidence that was published in every newspaper of the day upon its taking in 1966, involved 93-year-old Dr. J. Irving Bentley.
Dr. J.
Ooh, yeah. Cool. I love him. He could do the layups and the reverse dunks.
That was before anybody could jump too high.
Honestly, he was the first one that taught white people that jumping is possible.
He was black.
I know. That's why
but
we
he
had
taught
to
everyone else.
Oh, Bob Cousy taught us how to dribble, and then Julius Irvin was like, "But what if you just go and put it in there?" And then everyone's like,
"What?
What?
No! I was about to say we should make the basket lower. The basket should be on the ground.
Exactly.
And men should be allowed turns to throw the ball into the basket.
That's why white people should never invent sport.
That's why the common man shouldn't be allowed to trade stocks. Only us experts."
Well, Dr. J's burnt remains were found in front of his toilet, with his walker resting atop the ashes, and the rubber tips of that walker conspicuously intact. Henry, did you see this picture?
It's wild. The thing about SHC is the pictures are wild.
Wow.
We were watching this documentary last night, and man, there's just like, it's so fucking metal.
Yeah.
I know it's horrible, you know, it's one of those things, but you just see just like feet. You know, like right. That's it. Everything else is gone. It's just feet there, and then the chair is fine. It's cool.
You know, I'm going to say, as far as dying goes, we're all going to do it, I've heard.
Huh.
I read about
Not
it.
Me.
Doesn't seem like the worst, although I don't know much information yet, so we'll learn together. But is it a quick death or a slow death? But if you're going to be, like, torn apart by a group of jackals, crazy rabid wolves, or spontaneously combust, I don't know, going away in a puff of smoke ain't that bad.
It takes fucking a half an hour.
Does it take a long time?
At least. They're saying that's the one thing. We'll go into more of the scientific areas as it goes on, but it's like you smolder. If what they say is true, you smolder from the inside.
Well, what about taking a quick ice bath then?
No one's ever tried it.
Okay.
Honestly, I think of one thing that could have fixed this whole thing is cleverly placed Nest tea bottles.
Ooh, yes.
Well, from the pictures taken of Dr. J's burnt body, the only evidence that the pile of ashes had ever been a person at all was Dr. Bentley's leg. The fire had stopped just below one of the knee joints, and the leg lay in the hole left by the fire in the bathroom floor, as if the good doctor had just stood there while everything had burnt away, and the leg merely fell over once the fire had burned out.
And the hole in the floor is also a common thing with SHC. And what that is again, human fat rendered down,
okay,
pools on the floor, and then burns its way through the floor.
Yeah.
Because the fat actually gets much hotter. It becomes like boiling, and it falls down, and then it just eats away at shit. But that's like a very common. And then when it eats away, it creates a vent of air that then shoots up and ignites the fire even more.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Now, officially, the story that the coroner went with concerning Dr. Bentley was that he was a careless smoker.
Very careless.
Because you could see small burns riddling his everyday clothing and his bedroom floor. He's one of those guys. Everyone had that. Everyone's been to that house.
Oh,
The problem is he made himself the cigarette. So he doused himself and then lit himself aflame, you see.
So that makes you a professional smoker.
Yes.
Extrapolating from those small burns, the coroner surmised that Dr. Bentley had fallen asleep smoking, lit himself on fire, woke up, hobbled his 93-year-old ass to the bathroom on his walker he could put himself out, and then collapsed in front of the toilet where most of his body burned away to crumbled ash.
Honestly, he was able to beat cancer via cigarettes, but his body was still just like, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're going to light you on fire now.
However, believers in spontaneous human combustion think that Bentley was merely on his way to the toilet for regular toilet activities when his body ignited, and it was there that he burned and died.
I mean, it's technically...
I don't know what a 93-year-old's regular toilet activity is.
It's liquid shit. It's empty in the bag. I could just see... I mean, like, I know how this is how I'm going to die. It's just like... Okay, my flex is working. Better get old Mrs. Browski. Better get yourself in your favorite chair. Oh, there we go. Up, up. Mm-hmm. Like just
I can see it.
Oh!
You're gonna light a fart, and it's all gonna be over. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, part of why believers of SHC have the stand in place theory is that from the evidence we have, people who die from suspected spontaneous human combustion cases very rarely move once the burning starts.
I feel like I'd get the fucking case of the zoomies if I was on fire. You know what I mean? I feel like if I was on fire, I would start to.
I feel like it hurts a lot, so maybe you don't want to move?
If you're on fire from the outside in, yes, but if you're on fire from the inside out, maybe not. There's almost never a trail of like singed carpet, burnt clothing, or anything else that one might expect. Sometimes, in fact, people will burst into flames and burn on a bed, but the bed and the sheets are merely singed, again, as if the body is burning from the inside out.
That's so shit that's weird. Really weird. Yeah. That's a shit that is, but I also know clothes were more flammable back in the day. Also, there's like a thing that's like maybe a common thread, but it's very strange to see just a fucking burnt ass skeleton with feet on a bed that is unburnt with just everything else is like it's just kind of the ceiling is stained directly above it. It's wild looking.
I mean, it's a great day for whoever sold them those sheets just to be like, hey, they don't burn when your grandpa explodes himself.
Have you seen those new Brooklinen commercials?
These are very, very strong sheets. Have I told you about MyPillow?
Sometimes, though, spontaneous human combustion has been mistaken for murder. Such was the case of Jean Mallet, an innkeeper accused of having an affair with a pretty servant girl, then murdering and burning his wife in 1725 so he could continue the affair.
Mm.
The wife, who was an exceptionally heavy drinker, was found one morning about a foot away from the kitchen stove, burnt to death, and it was quickly surmised that her husband had killed her and tried to burn the evidence at the scene of the crime. However, the straw bed next to her was unburnt, as were the nearby wooden kitchen implements. All that was left of Mrs. Mallet was part of the head and a few vertebrae, and so Jean was arrested for murder. And Mallet might have swung if not for the intervention of a traveling doctor named Claude Lacat.
Oh, isn't that nice? He found himself his own Alan Dershowitz to lie for him. Isn't that great?
Man, your entire existence depends on a man named Mr. Lacat.
It's Mr. The Cat.
Oh, is that right?
I'm American now.
That's fun.
Well, Lacat...
The problem is I just did that whole cat character for Adolfo Constanzo, so you can't do another cat character.
Lacat convinced the court that this was no ordinary fire, and since this was 1725, his expert opinion was that this was a visitation from God,
and
an obvious result of soaking one's innards with spirits.
Yeah, sure.
And the judge said, Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Let him go.
That sounds great, Mr. Katz.
The 17th
You're lucky I hate dogs.
Absolutely. I'm happy your name isn't Judge LaDog, because that would have been rough for
me. That would have been rough, truly rough. That's so cute.
I want to combust right now. Can I please burst into flames?
The flames you'd make that stinky, stinky fire from those
would
guts.
Would you please, Henry? I think that my flames would smell wonderful.
I know that when I burn him, he will smell like the finest colognes.
Why did you make me marry to the like someone who I don't
you know you're gonna get married to a woman that looks just like me, no beard, just like clinging to your leg being like, oh Ben, get the milk for me, it's up too high.
I think you greatly underestimate how much I physically despise your form. No, I will not be.
Well, going off of the theories of Claude Laquet, who soon extrapolated those theories into a book about SHC.
Man, this shit has been going on since the beginning of time. Men who shill bullshit and yes. Then just to sell the book that they just shilled on.
Is it safe to say SHC was the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit version for the 1700?
Yeah.
Well, but going off of his theory, the alcohol theory became an accepted cause for this bizarre phenomenon, or at least a contributing factor. In fact, one quote-unquote scientist claimed that people ignited from within when internal gases and intestinal waste combined with alcohol in great quantities over a period of time.
When you get filled with farts and shit, you pour beer on it, sometimes you explode. That's just a fucking law. That's just a strong shot of it.
I don't know why we got the cursing scientist up here on the stand. But yes, that's fine. It checks out.
But spontaneous human combustion didn't just happen to drunkards. In 1789, a priest named Father Bertholi was lodging with his brother-in-law and had been left alone in his room for just a few minutes with his prayer book.
And oh, I know, we know one thing about priests. They don't drink at all.
No.
Sober as the wind.
It's the only thing that keeps them from all the molesting.
I could work the other way, too.
Yeah, I would imagine that the alcohol would probably lead to the molestation.
Yeah, I could.
You know, sometimes, though, what I've discovered about quarantine is that booze just makes my own brain fun enough to just sit there.
Yeah, that's also true.
Before long, though, the priest's family members heard screaming. And when they came running, they found the priest on the floor, surrounded by a pale flame.
Fuck yeah, dude, there's a fucking devil. Yeah, get your motherfucker. Cool.
And although the priest was prevented from burning through, he still died. And the skin on his torso was detached from the flesh and hung in shreds.
Cool. Oh, I'm starting to think it's not the most fun way to die.
No, it's very bad.
Yeah, you don't want...
No fire death is good.
No, you don't want to have a confetti death. You don't want to look like the Ultimate Warrior when he was wearing his armbands.
The tassels.
But it's,
yeah.
The tassels, yeah. But it's just your human flesh hanging off of you. That's not cool.
I never want someone to see my dead body and someone says, oh, is this some Pernell?
This
oh,
is
no,
nice.
This
wow.
is
wow.
a human body. I thought this was... chicharrón.
But the priest screaming is an anomaly. Some are found as if they sat calmly through the entire ordeal. In 1960, 5 charred bodies were found in a burned-out car near Pikeville, Kentucky. As the coroner wrote, they were sitting as though they'd just gotten into the car and burst into flames.
Cool.
And with all that heat, you'd think there'd be at least a little struggle.
Yeah.
But according to the report, no signs of struggle were present. Although this one very much sounds like 5 people were just murdered, then sat in a car and set on fire to spread.
Yeah, yeah. Everything. I mean, I'd say that. Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's also
a possible explanation for that one.
Okay, that one seems like that could check out too. Yeah.
Another near universal characteristic of spontaneous human combustion is the extreme heat which is involved. See, under normal circumstances, it is actually very difficult to set a person on fire without an accelerant because we are, after all, mostly water.
Yeah, that's how I tried to get it over several times that I was fired, where I just say, being like, you can't fire water.
You can't
fire
water.
I'm 70% water.
And you're
70%. So you're just fire. Oh, you're firing water now.
You're going to fire what gives life. You're going to fire me that I give you life. I'm water.
I'm water.
Yeah. All right. Makes sense.
What are you, Walter Stavenhagen?
Oh.
But the reduction of a body into a pile of calcified ashes, which is what happens with most suspected cases of spontaneous human combustion that have full photographic evidence,
whoa,
requires enormous amounts of heat, usually maintained for hours.
Okay, so it literally is a very specific way to burn to death.
It is.
Yeah. Like, so they know, so they can be like, it's not obvious, no accelerant was used, he didn't fall asleep with the cigarette. They know, no matter what, whether it be spontaneous human combustion or something else, but this is very, very specific.
Whatever SHC is, it is at least the most interesting, I'm going to say, use the word interesting, outliers in home fires that exist. They are so strange and very idiosyncratic, and it is wild, the energy in the fire.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, cremation itself is not just burning the body until everything turns to powder. The body is put into a cremation chamber, which burns at about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit for anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours. Essentially, this just burns away the flesh. Ooh. Then the ample bony remains left are ground up using either mallets, rollers, or heavy blocks.
Or like mortar and pestle. Yeah, if you're making like a pestle or something with it, you want to get one of those mortar and pestles.
Sure. Yeah, you want to make sure to clean it out really, really well before you make guac for the family, though, because that'll make it kind of disgusting.
Or the remains are processed using specialized equipment like the patented remains processor built by Fire Lake Manufacturing, which is a somewhat disturbing and simultaneously fucking sick name for a company that makes incinerators and incinerator accessories.
Can you guys take my bones, muddle them up, and then form them into my tombstone?
Yes.
All right, cool. Let's do that.
It's already done.
We absolutely
bone
can.
Stone.
Would you like us to make necklaces and rings and such out of your remains that we can wear around and show to people?
Jangle them?
Nah, I still got you. You guys are still going to be my friends. I can't have a bunch of those kind of friends. You guys don't do that. I don't know. You don't do the human equivalent of the shell necklace. It was very popular in Wisconsin in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, I remember the puka shell necklace. That was a worldwide phenomenon for some reason.
Also very popular in Texas as well. Yeah. Everyone who shopped at PacSun had four of those.
And honestly, Dave Matthews' band does have some good music. I'm going to stand up for them.
Okay, well, all right. You know, I mean,
monkey,
sure. You
jumping
could say,
monkey.
Yeah, not that one.
That's what he said.
Nope.
Satellite.
That's fine. That's fine if you're trying to date a 20-year-old at a bayou, I guess. You can listen to Satellite all night.
Satellite. But actually, it's kind of sad if you think about how our space is just filled with human garbage.
Yeah.
That's actually what it's a commentary on.
Yeah, and dead animals, dead monkeys, dead dogs. A lot of them up there.
And a lot of Russian dudes up there are dead in space, too.
Yeah.
They allowed a lot of those guys to die.
I saw a picture of our atmosphere in the 1960s versus now, and we really got... We got to start cleaning it up out there.
We need a vacuum. We need some kind of space vacuum.
I think there is one up there.
But the point here is that for bones to essentially crumble into ash, as they do with suspected spontaneous human combustion cases, it takes a sustained heat of about 3,000 degrees. And from accounts, some of the bodies burn for a relatively short period of time, not the 2 or 3 hours that it usually takes.
I eat too much! I drink too much!
No! We're done! DMB is out of the conversation. It's done.
Okay.
I will say that was a fun video.
That was a good, too much video.
That is one of their better songs. Drink too much!
Too much.
That is the only very good. I mean, Spotify, we can play that. We'll play that song now in its entirety right now. Are we ready?
I don't think you want me to do it.
No, we'll play with Spotify. We can just play the song.
I don't know if we need to lose the audience right now.
Another fascinating aspect of this is that while the bodies obviously burn hot, there's also an extreme confinement of the heat. Sometimes, but not always, victims of spontaneous human combustion are found lying in unscorched beds or sitting on slightly singed chairs.
It's just such a fucking Soundgarden, like, music video image of, like, just someone just sitting in a Lazy Boy just
Black
burning. You know what I mean? It's fucking cool.
Yeah, like a fucking Pink Floyd album cover.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. It really is freaking awesome. But maybe we'll get into it, but why doesn't anything else around it catch on fire?
Well, sometimes it does, but most of the time there is evidence of fire, but it's still like highly localized. I mean, often the floor underneath is burned, as is the ceiling above, because the reason why nothing is really burned around it is because fire burns vertically. Fire never burns horizontally.
What I learned from the video I watched yesterday is that fires burn in columns and Vs. So fires, the way fires burn is these natural V shapes that are shown in the fire marks. And the one common thing about spontaneous human combustion is that it's a very narrow column of flame.
Why doesn't everyone just build their houses horizontal?
Because we're not Dutch, all right? I like room, all right? I got to go places.
Well, for example, Mary Reeser, 67 years old and a resident of St. Petersburg, Florida.
What's going on, OJ?
Oh, yeah. St. Petersburg, where Henry and Natalie got married, and it was a beautiful night.
It was so nice.
And I, we met Charlie Crist there.
Yeah, and that woman burned alive there.
Well, that woman was reduced to ashes in a pillar of fire on July 1st, 1951.
Oh.
The overstuffed chair in which she died was burned to the springs, and there was a patch of soot on the ceiling above. However, the pile of papers nearby was entirely unaffected, despite the intense heat needed to reduce her to ashes.
Wow.
Dr. Wilton Krogman, a forensic scientist who specialized in fire deaths, investigated the scene and said that he could not conceive of such a complete cremation without burning down the apartment itself.
And don't think I don't fantasize about it. How I wish every single fire encompassed every building that ever was, and finally we could get back to the simplicity of the indigenous people.
Well, that's kind of an aggressive, angry doctor.
I'll tell you, I'm another doctor, and I'll tell you something. Everywhere I go is a 6 feet cube of freedom.
Yeah, you're talking about the grave. You want to go to the grave.
No. That's when it's under the ground. When I'm above ground, I'm president of my own little world here, right?
Indeed, you're definitely hammered. I'll tell you that, Doc.
I made an executive order to drink whiskey this morning.
Well, Dr. Krogman further went on to say that if he were living in the Middle Ages and he saw such a scene, he'd mutter something about black magic.
I do love that he addresses the fact that he would be part of the problem. I like that, where he was be like, I would have burned 3 witches. I call them bitches because of the black magic.
Yeah. Yeah, if I saw this, even 10 years ago, I'd crucify as many women as with fucking bush hair that I could find.
Anyway, just letting you know, because the rules have changed, I won't do that. But I would do that if I could do that.
I like what you're saying, doctor. I like what you're saying. That's why I said, let's sign an executive order right now. We're going. We're opening up Six Flags. And we're going, I don't care about the flu.
I love it. I'll light a match and I'll kill a woman. I'll fight. If I see a fire, I'll kill a woman. I'll call her a witch.
Dr. Krogman, you just became Secretary of the Interior of my 6 feet cube of freedom.
This is incredible.
Well, as far as the police went, they entertained every idea from something called an atomic pill to murder by flamethrower.
Shit, dude. You have to make somebody upset in your quilt group for them to show up with a flamethrower and set you on fire.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Great day to be a detective, though, because if those are your two options, no matter what happens with the case, it's going to be really fun.
Everyone's going to talk to you and ask you questions.
You're going to get access to a flamethrower.
So cool. You get to test it.
Yeah.
Fun.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it, but guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do, and the memories keep cycling, and I get emotional, and we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy, and that is not sad. That is celebratory, so you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 500 megabits internet for $39.99 per month, plus a $100 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
Well, Dr. Krogman postulated that Mrs. Reeser may have been burned elsewhere by someone with access to crematorium-type equipment, and the remains were carried back to her apartment, where the special effects wizards in charge of the scene made it look as if she burned to death in her chair. That was the most logical conclusion he could come to.
You really thought that this was all going to be done by fucking Rick Baker?
It could be, and if somebody did do that as a special effects artist, as horror fans...
Cool.
Do a couple of years in prison, but then come back and make the movies. Thing and yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
But should it be that spontaneous human combustion was the case here, it seemed as if Mrs. Reeser did not put up any struggle whatsoever, as if, in the words of Charles Fort, she had been, quote, lulled into the wings of a vampire.
Whoa, geez,
my
doctor's...
panties just got wet.
Yeah, that was a doctor's quote?
No, that was Charles Fort's quote.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Created the term Fortean. He was the first collector of all things weird and interesting. Charles Fort is the grandpappy of all of our favorite bullshit, and we should probably do a series on him.
I love thinking of pappies.
No, we should. Yeah, he wrote The Book of the Damned.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, Charles Fort wrote extensively about spontaneous human combustion and even told of one tale in which there was an actual witness to the phenomenon who saved the possible victim from burning. In the winter of 1904, at Binbrook Farm near Grimsby in England, employer...
Where they got a cartoon bear as fucking mayor and everybody pays everybody marmalade sandwiches or some shit.
It's crazy. Everyone has a bicycle, but there's only one wheel. It's a unicycle.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's a unicycle community. Sure.
Well, there, an employer came into his kitchen to see a young servant girl calmly sweeping, entirely unaware that the back of her dress was, at that moment, on fire.
Whoa, that's like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
It is a little bit. Or Mrs. Doubtfire when he has hot flashes. The boobies.
The girl, who was completely oblivious to what was happening until her employer tackled her and smothered the flames with wet sacks, was terribly burned. And had been on fire for some time, apparently without noticing.
I'm too immature for you to say the words wet sack.
Yeah.
I can't. I just pictured him like doing the Halo thing.
Yeah, with sure. Like, teabagging her. Yeah, absolutely.
He got his nutsack all wet, and then he did that. So
yeah, it's just how
that
we're
was where
raised.
My mind went.
It's how we're raised.
Yeah.
I blame America.
Sorry about that.
I blame the public education system.
Yeah. I understand what he was actually trying to say. It wasn't testicles. It was a sack.
Yeah, it wasn't testicles. You understood it on a conscious level.
But then
my gym teacher taught math and science in my school.
Well, I also saw him like bringing in all the other caterers and be like, take your balls out, boys. Dip them in the water. We need to nut sack this woman. And,
you make a joke, but my football coach was also my science teacher all throughout high school. The girls volleyball and the girls coach was the history teacher for a brief period of time.
And my history teacher actually taught dating to several classes, which is really interesting. I didn't know they were teaching them dating and lifestyle tips.
So. That was the next school over. Over at Roll, they did that whole thing where the coach ended up marrying one of his students.
Yeah,
everyone was cool with it.
Everyone
was cool with it because they waited until she was 18 to tell everyone about it.
That's so
cool. We had one of those. I think
because
they might be still married.
Because you could do everything everything over the clothes, and then when you get to 18, then you can put the tip in, and then everybody applauds you for being super legal.
I'm not sure. Yeah, if they,
and Roll had the around. Fucking temerity to call us low class.
Wow, I can't believe. I mean, you can use the word like temerity. There's nothing low class about that whatsoever.
Use valedictory.
That's right. That's because the football coach. It was a lateral move for him to be the science teacher. Usually, football coaches are the gym teacher. What do you call that? PR? What do you call those?
Yeah, PR. Yes, exactly.
I haven't been in school in a
public
long time.
Public recreation.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I mean, to be the science teacher, what did he teach you? What was one thing that he taught you that was totally wrong?
I don't know if he really taught me much at all.
Yeah,
Remember he did get really excited one day teaching friction using a big metal pole and a rag and making it look like he was jerking it off, and he was like giggling to himself
and
in front of the whole class.
That's why you were valedictorian, because he made learning fun.
He did. No, Coach Forhen, he was also my driving instructor. He would make me drive him to track meets all around town, and that's how I got my driving credits.
He was also your family doctor, and he was the mayor. So
Coach Forhen was fucking great. He was best football coach we ever had.
How don't you have hooves? That's all I want to know. I just don't. Your childhood is just so wonderfully magical.
Now, as far as explanations for spontaneous human combustion go, there's a lot of speculation, but no definitive cause. On the believer side, some think that it's an invisible force, because after all, we can have our insides cooked by extreme radiation or microwaves, but we can't see radiation or microwaves.
Ooh. Unless you got your cool glasses on.
Yeah, unless you got the cool microwave glasses. Reminds me of Unit 731. Them just turning up the pressure until you crap out your intestines.
And I think about it a lot. It's come up a lot recently.
I think about it too much. Yeah, whatever that little footage was that we saw. I know it was the movie. Yeah. Man, that one sticks with you.
But they used real corpses in it.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah.
One writer named Larry Arnold wrote in his book,
A Blaze! What?
That the main culprit of SHC was a theoretical subatomic particle that he dubbed the pyrotron.
Just remember that Larry Arnold is, the only way I describe him is that he looks like a wrestler's manager.
I love it.
And he is he's an independent researcher.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, not a scientist per se. Not really a whole lot of credits for Larry Arnold, but he's read a lot of stuff and he's got a lot of opinions.
The Pyrotron also was my favorite ride at Epcot.
Absolutely, it sounds like something that the Flaming Lips would be like. And now for the Pyrotron, and then they sing "Do You Realize?" And then your brain is
fucking
on mushrooms,
balls,
and then
you're like fucking beaming, dude.
Yeah, and then you look at your big, huge body with all the deep vein thrombosis, and you're like, "I am beautiful," which is an obvious lie. I love it.
Well, Larry Arnold proposed that the Pyrotron was usually harmless, but when it passed through a body with a highly increased blood alcohol content, the conditions for spontaneous human combustion are met.
Sure.
UK writer Michael Harrison made the terrifying suggestion that SHC is just another form of poltergeist.
Oh, cool.
And along that track, others think that spontaneous human combustion is a form of psychic suicide.
Psychic suicide is the only way I'm going with you, girl. Psychic suicide.
Yeah, say what you want about pre-science, you know, the pre-science world. It was much more fun.
Pre-science world, this fucking theory is from 1996.
Pre-science. We didn't even have stem cells then.
But they think it's psychic suicide. The person wills themselves into death by flame.
In 1996.
They're like,
somebody said it's psychic suicide.
They are every single time saying today that it's psychic suicide.
They are.
I'm not going to listen to someone who likes Johnny Depp's later work. You know,
someone who's the number one Hollywood vampire fan. Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to them.
Now, this is definitely like the opinion of like the darkest dude in Sedona, Arizona.
It's cool, though. I do love this idea, because also there is another side shoot idea that it can possibly, some people might also like psychic suicide It might be that it's not just that they willed themselves to explode. It was that maybe also they're accidentally tuned into their own pyrokinetic abilities. And yeah. one of those things, because they said the one big thing that can happen here is pranic imbalance, right? Or like the idea that your inner energy is too mishy-mashities, so you explode. But some people...
This is just humors. This is just, oh, his humors are out of balance. We need to bleed him for 3 days. Like, it's just...
But some people can control their prana so much. I saw this one little Asian guy. He set a thing on fire with his hands.
That's from X-Men. That was the fat kid from X-Men in the most recent one where he has the fire ability.
This is a new fat kid.
Huh. Well, I guess it actually would make sense then that it would be a chubbier person that has the fire power.
Get all the flu. Yeah. Get all the fuel.
Why does that make sense?
Because of the lard. Because the, we just said that how fat burns. Yeah.
But honestly, it also shows that chubby people really are super hot.
Jesus.
What do you
fucking want from me?
They are. Yes, everyone has always said that when it comes to the perfect physical
look
physique,
at me.
It is yours.
I'm cute now. I'm cute.
Yeah.
I'm a boy with an eye.
That's the nice thing about wives. They lie to you.
They have to.
Yeah.
Well, others still think that it's a number of extreme factors that have to come together all at once. The chain theory.
Okay.
In one issue of the Fortean journal Pursuit, a writer noticed that a significant number of spontaneous human combustion cases occurred at peaks of geomagnetic flux.
Okay, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you.
Follow me through here. Follow me on this road.
Sure. No, teach me.
See, global averages of daily geomagnetic figures have been made available to astronomers and geophysicists for years.
Sure.
And the writer of this article discovered that days of high geomagnetic activity coincided with instances of spontaneous human combustion.
I'm so happy we're finally talking about the subject that I care about, which is high geomagnetic, whatever.
Yeah, you've been begging to have this on the show for so long, and nothing it just fucking screams cool guy more than a theory that involves spreadsheets.
Yes, indeed.
It's graphs. It's a lot of graphs. Charts, mostly. A lot of charts.
And charts don't make them themselves.
No, they don't.
Now, of course, it isn't only geomagnetic fluctuations that cause spontaneous human combustion, because otherwise people would just be bursting into flames on a weekly fucking basis, which would be terrifying. Can you imagine if we lived in a world where, like, you'd have a fire forecast where, like, on Thursday, at least 30,000 people will burst into flames.
So be
ready for it.
Fucking get my visor, dude. Get my lawn chair, put it out on the front of the street, and just, like, look around. Just being like, which one are you going to barbecue today?
I would get a super soaker in one of those really big ones with the backpack, fill it full of gas, and then I would spray it on people, and I'd try to connect them with the fire, so then you can like connect the fire people. I mean, they're all gonna be dead, but honestly,
this is the one time you without towels, completely soaking wet in your clothes when you leave the
totally
shower.
Fine.
You're the safest man who's ever been. And it might actually become like a fashionable thing to do to be just sopping wet all day.
Absolutely.
But what this suggests is that spontaneous human combustion might be a result of a complex chain of events, and geomagnetic activity is just a part of it.
Okay.
As far as the ignition agent goes, those same people suggest that perhaps the old unexplained phenomena known as ball lightning is the ultimate culprit that lights the fuse.
Do you think that, where's ball lightning's defense attorney? Because ball lightning is blamed for so much shit.
Yeah.
People are always like, once they get to it, it comes down to... ball lightning. They just say the word ball lightning.
Okay.
No one's ever, they don't really see, I've seen evidence of ball lightning. It's lightning. It is just lightning.
Is it just a form of a ball?
No, or? It's just lightning. Okay. They just say ball lightning. It's like another thing saying like, oh, this is a spontaneous creation of plasma. And you're just saying shit.
Yeah.
Well, there was a different time. Everyone liked lightning. There was like grease lightning. Like everyone liked lightning back in the
grease
day.
Grease lightning is actually a much better like term for it, because every time when the grease lightning come through, it leaves all the puddles of grease.
Well, one study in 1969 postulated that ball lightning, in some cases, could manifest short radio waves of the kind used in microwave ovens. And these waves essentially cook the person from the inside out until they burst into flames like so much baked potato.
Mm. Ooh. Would they? Okay, so let's say they don't get to the flame part Would they still, are they dead by the time they burst into physical flames?
Yeah, there was that priest. Remember that priest earlier?
When there's another story I was listening to, and one of the documentaries I watched had a story of a witness who saw his sister-in-law, who he said was medically, mentally handicapped, is what he said.
Okay.
And she said that in the living room, she went to him, literally said, "My tummy hurts," and then started throwing up flames, like literally, like shot flames out of her mouth. This is his whole thing, and she was like, "And the roaring of the flames, it was like being next to a radiator." And he watched her, and she's going, "Oh,
give her some ice, and throw something on her."
They got her fucking, they got bottles of water, and just started throwing water all over her, right? And she's just like, "Oh," like flames shooting out of her fucking mouth. And then they managed to stop the fire, but then she died.
Well, that is just one of the strangest Dasani commercials I have ever seen.
But honestly, it made me thirsty.
I think Fiji water would have saved your life.
All right, well, let's go through a chain of events in which spontaneous human combustion might occur.
Okay.
First, sunspot activity has to be high, although I could not figure out anyone who could explain to me why sunspot activity has to be high.
Geomagnetic flux.
You're going to want that to be high.
Geomagnetic flux was because when the sun belches.
So the sunspot activity causes the geomagnetic storm?
Yes.
You're going to want that. You're going to want that geometric activity to be high near a sunspot.
And we got here. This doctor knows exactly what he's talking about. He also explained to me, you don't need to pay your tickets because honestly, cops are part of a separate corporation. Yeah. America's a corporation. Right. I've been listening to a lot to these doctors and they've taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Well, now when the sunspot activity comes in, and now that I know that causes the geomagnetic storm, that's followed by ball lightning, which shoots a cosmic ray of low frequency energy into the body of the victim, and the victim goes poof.
Ball lightning. Very cool.
What a way to make it just so, like, there's something about these theories that make the victims of spontaneous human combustion must feel so special.
No, because I don't think they feel special.
The whole universe, like the sun had a fart, ball lightnings had to show up, and you literally, and it all was just so you would burst into flames. How nice is that?
Yeah.
Well, these explanations, however, are most likely not the cause of spontaneous human combustion.
Well, then what have we been doing here?
These are the fantasy reasons. They're not fantasy reasons. These are, if you believe that spontaneous human combustion is a thing, this is like how they're trying to figure it out.
Because I thought it was a thing. The whole episode is about it.
Well, there's a lot of people that say it's not a thing at all.
Yeah.
And actually, the hardest part of this whole thing is spelling spontaneous. Because that was for me.
No, it is hard. E-U-I. Or like, what
I don't
what
know. I don't know. There's
this?
A bunch of letters in there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Well, let's now get into the skeptics' questions and explanations for SHC.
Ugh.
They're pretty right. Okay.
We gotta learn.
What the skeptics say.
Well, first, if spontaneous human combustion is a real thing, then why, out of the 7 billion people on Earth, does it not happen more often? And why does it never happen in public? Or in the middle of the day? Or on public transit? Or while someone's just sitting in the office?
It's because everybody's addicted to their phones.
Yeah, and it's because not everybody's mother had sex with the candelabra from Beauty and the Beast. That your father has to be wax.
A woman can have sex with a candle, especially if you light the other side.
Well, yeah. Of course you can.
Furthermore, why does it only occur in humans? Let's just take, for example, chickens.
Okay.
There are 23.7 billion chickens on Earth.
Damn.
Yes, I
that is
it
a
up.
Scare. We gotta start killing these chickens. Are we killing
They're
enough?
Gonna rise up.
Okay.
And yet, I've never seen a chicken burst into flames, nor have I ever heard of someone saying that a chicken spontaneously burst into flames.
Oh, never heard
cows, for that matter.
Recipe.
We got a lot of cows.
It would be delicious.
We got a lot of birds. We got a lot of everything.
But they don't. They don't consume alcohol.
See. Chickens can't drink beer.
Although if you do see a chicken drinking a beer, you
take
keep
a picture and send it, please.
That's not true. Some monkeys eat fermented fruit from the floors of jungles in order to get drunk.
Yeah, but so we don't know. Maybe a monkey in the jungle has randomly exploded. We don't know.
Obviously, yeah, and we don't know like the molecules that makes the Bud Light lime.
Right.
Like, we don't know what those do to a person.
Also, if you could transport me, maybe it'll become extremely violent, but I'd love to get drunk in the forest with a bunch of monkeys and gorillas and just hang out. Oh, they're so
fun.
Sounds
really fucking dangerous.
It could be dangerous. Well, it depends. Do they get nicer or do they get meaner?
I just think they become more monkey-like.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun, though.
As far as the human victims of suspected cases of spontaneous human combustion go, there are quite a few shared factors that might go a ways towards explaining it. Many victims are of low mobility due to advanced age or obesity, which means that moving, once they catch on fire, wasn't always the easiest thing.
To me, that was because at first I truly did think, when I was looking at these pictures, like, why weren't they running around? But this is literally the worst thing you can think of. You're 90 years old. You can barely move. You're like overweight. You have mobility problems. You can't go. You begin to catch on fire. Oof. You then, because the thing is, panic sets in, right? You're on fire.
Yeah.
You can't, like.
Donahue is on, and you want to know how it's going to end.
What's in the vault?
Yeah, what's in the vault? There was a roll, though.
Oh, yeah. You are on fire, and this struggle to get up, and then I wonder if you're in so much pain, and then immediately in ensconced in flames, and you kind of just being like, I guess we're just going to ride this out.
I guess you just do it. What other choice do you have?
Well, furthermore, most of them were smokers, which means that they might have been in the middle of a tasty cigarette when they were suddenly struck down by a heart attack. Then the cigarette lights the fire that consumes them. And that's what brings us to the wick theory.
The wick theory, because it's all about how it starts with you accidentally kill another man's dog.
Do not do that to John Wick. He will kill everybody.
You don't know that that dog belonged to one of the most premier, handsome assassins that's ever lived. And he comes to your house and he burns you with a flamethrower.
By the end of John Wick 3, I did actually, for the first time, have one thought where it's like, you've killed hundreds of people.
Maybe get another dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's like, it was a great dog. I love that dog. It was a gift from the girlfriend who passed away.
Have you thought maybe about running for office and helping to solve the situation from the inside out?
From the inside. But at some point, it was just like, you have killed a lot of people for that dog. But then again, don't kill a man's dog.
But this
That's
term,
the lesson.
This is comes from a term that I was started reading about, which is called this concept of fat wick burn. So it's what they now call. That's like the common term. For, but the idea of SHC is this thing. It's this type of phenomena, which is actually very complicated.
Well, I don't know. Just check your...
check it out.
Check your butt for wicks. I don't know.
You'll see what this is.
Well, in this theory, a small external flame, like a burning cigarette, chars the clothing of the victim and splits the skin, releasing subcutaneous fat. That is in turn absorbed into the burning clothing, which acts like a wick. Because usually the human body has enough energy stored in fat to fully combust the body. And the fat continues to feed the fire just as candle wax feeds a candle wick. And this is actually the reason why the feet and hands don't burn, because the extremities typically have far less fat.
And the extremities don't necessarily, when you're home, have clothes on them. So one of the main factors is the clothes on the body help.
Yeah.
I also need to point out that Henry's reaction when you mentioned how the fat was melting and all that stuff, he sounded just like Homer staring at a pork chop. You said, and then you made a guttural voice.
It
like
really is hard to not.
Thing.
I just think about it because all
this is human fat we're talking about, human combustion we're talking about.
I've just been smoking so much meat. Yeah, I know, because we smell like pork, and technically that's what they said. Yeah. It's like when the human body roasts, like they talk about this, like you get kind of, you do smell the meat. The meat smells good.
Yeah, it smells like pork. It smells like big old pig roast.
I don't think so.
It's just so many wires.
You all both like the pig roast more than me. I can't be looking at the thing's eyes.
I'll fucking suck out its eyeballs, man.
I know, I think you did.
Well, this could also explain why so many cases occurred in olden times, when open flames in one's household were far more common than what we have today. And of course, in the 20th century, the most common open flame in the house was a cigarette. And as far as how the bones burn and crumble as they do, many of the suspected victims of spontaneous human combustion are elderly women. And one of the most common diseases in that demographic is osteoporosis, which makes the bones brittle and weak.
Okay, so like more easily burnable.
More easily burnable and more easily crumble-able. That's why old people, old people burn better.
And they break.
That's actually good to know, though, for the future, for clean fuels, for a renewables fuel source. Yeah. Like the old people, we keep getting old.
Well, yeah. So. I mean, theoretically, aren't we all, I mean, it's the dino bones, right, that we have our oil now. At some point, it'll be, I mean, it must be some human bones in there making oil too, right?
I have no fucking clue.
I know they made the walls in Edinburgh. That's all I remember about Edinburgh is the people being like, that ain't rock. That's half bone.
That's
like,
bone.
Cool.
Yeah. So fucking sweet.
Well, as far as the alcohol factor goes, it certainly has something to do with it, but not in the way we might think. A person cannot physically consume enough alcohol to make it an internal accelerant, but a person can certainly drink enough where they don't wake up before a fire kills them by asphyxiation, which is most likely the cause of death in many of these spontaneous human combustion cases.
It's like why I drink. You know what I mean?
So you don't wake up? Yeah, you don't be a hero and save your family?
Yep, just back to sleep.
Yeah.
Alcohol, however, according to some spontaneous human combustion researchers, can produce acetone in the human body. And in one experiment, a researcher soaked pig flesh, which is similar to human flesh, in acetone. And when he lit it on fire, it went up, in his words, like an incendiary bomb.
It's a waste of pork.
Well, it's an interesting way to have warfare. Just throw a bunch of pork butts at enemy tribes, I guess.
So yeah, pig bombs. Everyone loves pig bombs.
Pig bomb!
Oh, that's going to be the name of my restaurant. Pig bomb!
Pig bomb!
Sergeant Parks, get the pig bomb!
But on the other hand, the wick effect is not definitive proof. Scientists at the California Criminalistics Institute attempted to replicate the wick effect conditions in 1998 by wrapping a dead pig in a blanket, setting it on fire, and letting it burn.
Mm. What a day at the office,
honestly,
huh?
Honestly, they just get to do it. But they said apparently, because that's the idea, is that the clothes like hold it all together, and then the fat sucks. The fat absorbs into the clothes, making the clothes even more flammable as they go. And like, it's something like that.
You just cut to the janitor at midnight, just putting his finger on the ground, wiping it, putting it to his tongue, and be like, yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm not getting old for this shit.
That's pretty good, I'm almost too young for this shit.
Eventually, it did produce conditions similar to SHC remains, but only after several hours of smoldering. Other attempts to replicate this with dead pigs has failed. And this still doesn't explain the alleged cases in which the victims burned relatively quickly.
Man, I hope Ryan Gosling's careful with all the smoldering he does.
He's hot. Honestly, he is also funny. He is the perfect man.
I know.
Yeah.
And actually, there are examples of exploding animals in nature of a sort. Some varieties of carpenter ants can fatally explode at will to protect the nest from intruders by contracting abdominal muscles and rupturing poison glands, sending the stuff spraying in all directions.
That's loyalty.
Ant suicide. Yeah, suicide bombers.
That's fucking cool.
Ant suicide bombers. That's
fighting for something out there.
Ants are really awesome. Too bad they're so tiny. If they were big, they'd have a lot of power.
Yeah, that's the movie Them.
It is. Yep. Yes.
There was also the case of the exploding toads of Hamburg in Germany.
Henry, where were you?
No, he was just watching.
In Germany, in April of 2005, nature protection officials observed at least 1,000 toads swell up and explode, sending Whoa. Their innards flying up to a meter away.
Dude, this is like a fucking Farley Brothers movie. You know what I mean? Like, that is
horrible. You got to wear those glasses that have the little window wipers on them.
You could definitely see a sketch where it's been like, my priceless toad collection. Yeah. Yeah, can you see? And then they're all like eating it. Pop, 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 pop. No!
But it happened at the greatest frequency between 2 and 3 a.m., and it usually occurred at a pond that the locals soon dubbed Tumpel des Todes, a.k.a. the Pool of Death.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Ooh, cool.
This is one of the rare times where English actually sounds a lot cooler than Tumpel des Todes.
Well, according to observers, the toads expanded to 3.5 times their normal size before exploding.
Whoa,
man. But they did find a likely cause. After performing necropsies.
You just did. Necropsies.
Yeah, necropsies. After performing necropsies on the toads, a Berlin veterinarian named Franz Muchmann theorized that the whole thing had resulted from a murder of crows using the toads as an organ meat buffet.
I've also begun to think that some of these toads went to the Taco Bell.
They went to the Taco Bell.
And they got a little bit of the gorditas.
Yeah, that is a strange Berlin accent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm from South Berlin.
South Berlin. Mm. Oh, interesting. Good history there.
Good hot dogs.
So, I don't... Probably, actually. Ooh, love sausages. We'll be there. We'll be there.
Yeah, we are. That's coming. You motherfuckers, we're coming right
now. No reason to curse them and tell them that they have
you
sex with their mothers.
You motherfuckers, we're coming.
There's really no reason
we
to
really
call
are,
them
though. We really are. Wait till you see when we release.
So crows were harvesting the organs of these toads.
Well, let me tell you how it happened. From
yes,
what the
please.
Vet observed, the highly intelligent crows got a taste for toad livers.
Sure.
And instead of killing the toads to extract the tasty organ meats contained therein, they were simply picking through the skin between the toad's chest and abdominal cavity, grabbing the livers and then just fucking flying away. Then the toads, in using their natural defense mechanisms, would puff themselves up. But because their bodies were sporting a large hole, and because the liver was missing, the blood vessels and the lungs would rupture, causing the frogs to literally explode.
That's fucking crazy. That's like Sherlock Holmes figuring out that shit.
Crows are scary. They are scary.
They are scary. Oh, Wendy
birds
is crows.
Are scary.
Wendy is fascinated with crows and ravens, and I keep having Ooh. To pull her away because it's like, they're going to pluck out your fucking eyes, Wendy.
Yeah, apparently. What if they get a taste for chihuahua liver? We're all doomed.
Crows are wonderful animals. They're
Love
so
crows.
Intelligent. They're
Very
so
smart.
Fucking smart. They actually make art for people they like.
Oh, that's cute.
You could teach a crow where the clit is.
I don't... That... Ugh, no.
A lady worm.
I don't... No, it is not a lady worm. Marcus, also, did you... Is that something you want to have? You want to have a restaurant?
A restaurant? No, but if I were to one day want to have a restaurant, I'd still call it the Pig Bomb.
Marcus is legally not allowed to have a restaurant because his favorite international food is British food.
Yep. You won't find any salt there.
I'm telling you, if I found the right place, and if I were to find the right city that enjoyed meat pies as much as I do, and fish and chips, a good cod,
no, it's not about
just maybe we'd be able to do it.
In theory, a meat pie is wonderful. Fish and chips is great, but the way that you like it served, which is, it's a little bit on the... It's a little bland.
It's UK
it's,
food in general is bland.
What am I supposed to do with a meat pie? It's a little pie
salt,
full of meat.
Put chimichurri sauce in it.
Ooh. I'm just saying they don't really salt their food very much.
But then what I'm talking about is an empanada. I like empanadas.
Yeah. Ooh, Marcus, you have to have an empanada store so we can be
Carolina is a big empanada fan. We could have an empanada and fucking English
meat
food
pie.
Store. Empanada and meat pie. Yeah, it's
that
all meat pie.
It
all
works.
Meat pie.
It all works. I don't want to meet a fucking person who doesn't like an empanada.
No, absolutely not.
Who doesn't like an empanada? I'm mad just thinking about it.
No, I think Marcus has the perfect nervous and just perfect nervous energy to be completely overwhelmed at a small restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see Marcus being looking at his feet while being screamed at by Gordon Ramsay in 24 hours to hell and back.
No, it's a risk.
You've got to get your shit together. And he's just like, I know. I'm just also running a podcast network. I got a lot going on. I don't
my
think
eighth book.
I don't think your head is in this.
No, if anything, I'm gonna open a comic book/record store someday. But that's many
great.
Years in the future.
I love it.
Now, of course, the toads and the ants have nothing to do with fire. It's not really anything to do with spontaneous no. combustion, but then it combusts. But it's fascinating combust. Nonetheless. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's exploding toads. What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? Yeah,
that's good content.
What's amazing, though, is that cases of spontaneous human combustion, or at least suspected cases, still exist. In 2010, an Irishman named Michael Faherty, 76, apparently burned alive in his home in Galway. The only damage done to the house was the floor below and the ceiling above. Faherty himself was reduced to a pile of ashes, and the coroner, left with no other possibility that he could see, actually recorded a verdict of spontaneous human combustion.
So whether it's done by a lazy coroner or done by a horny author, spontaneous human combustion is still a viable thing. It's out there. I was looking at these abstracts from medical books, like still talking about this spontaneous human combustion in the light of the 21st century. People have been talking about this. It's still out there. Like there are cases of it every year. But mostly you would file it under, in my mind, technically it's closer to mysterious fires. Mm-hmm. Right, necessarily than SHC. But if you're feeling frisky, and if your wife left you, and if you're a coroner, just put it down there. Why make it a spontaneous human combustion?
But we don't know. But the interesting thing is, through all of the science, we still don't know what causes it, right? So like if you're a killer, and you're like, I want to get away with it, I'm going to fake spontaneous human combustion, there's no way to know how to do it.
Yeah, that's what I would tell my client.
Really?
I would tell my client that.
But I mean, that's kind of interesting. Throughout the science, they didn't figure out exactly what's causing it. So I guess that's why there's still plenty of room for rumor.
They got a pretty good idea. It's just, it's hard to prove these sorts of things because you can't really burn a pig alive and you can't burn a person alive to see what happens. And it's very hard to observe it actually going on. And
under, not with like, this new fucking conditions. Liberal government, we can't. That's for certain.
You can't burn people alive anymore.
Yeah. That's for science.
Science!
Well, and then you have the same guy from Rock Terrio literally just doing like, fascinating. Like as you burn people alive.
That man should have been burnt alive. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's fun episode on spontaneous human combustion. If you're feeling hot in your tummy, I say just have a cold Gatorade. And you're going to feel just fine. And be just very careful.
And just so everyone knows, we didn't forget that we did spontaneous human combustion like 9 years ago.
It's just nice to redo shit as we go. This isn't the big redo.
No,
because that's
isn't
coming
the big
in two
redo.
Episodes. We got two episodes we got to come in. But this was, you know, it's just good to get right back into our fucking old weird roots.
Yeah.
Now with our new scientific eyeballs.
Oh, just so brilliant.
How much we've learned over the last 10 years. Oh, God, we've learned so much.
We have.
I'm scared of crows. Every piece of information I hear about a crow makes me more scared of crows.
We make your world smaller and smaller every week.
I love them. They're beautiful and I know they're smart, but do they do anything that's like hyper positive? The crow.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want from them?
The crow does something extraordinarily positive. If you feed a crow or like a group of crows, if you feed them
murder.
And they get a murder of crows, if you feed a murder of crows and they get to like you, they will actually bring you gifts. They will bring you shiny things. They'll bring you like, you know, like a quarter or like a little cap from a can of Coke or something like that.
Yeah,
they'll bring you gifts. They're very positive.
I befriended this group of crows, and they brought me this a detached human penis.
Really?
And I was like, all right, guys, thank you for the gift, but this is a lot.
And that's the one you have to this day.
This is all a
surgically,
bit.
Surgically put onto your body.
I'm not nice to birds. I mean, I'm nice to birds, but I'm neutral with birds.
I have nothing to
get. I definitely prefer birds over fucking frogs. Fuck them. Fuck the fucking frogs. No, give me birds.
I'm kind of scared of both of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Caroline also is scared of birds. She said she doesn't trust them.
I don't trust them one bit. And
they don't have our agendas in mind, that's for certain.
No, they don't. No, they don't. The only animal that will never hurt you, although they were attacking people, I guess, in Queens, but squirrels.
They've been viciously attacking people in Queens.
Yeah, but I like a good squirrel. Don't have nuts in your pocket when you're walking around. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Perfect.
We hope you're doing all right out there. We have some big news. Do we want to talk about our weed? Can we talk about weed?
We don't have the release date yet, so there's no point yet.
Okay, but we did look at some new designs, and they look really cool, and we're super excited.
We're very, very excited. Yes. We can't wait to give you this weed. The one thing we can tell you is join our Patreon, because what we're doing is every week, Tuesday, is 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are back
in our
shit.
Those are the oceans.
Last stream on the left is back. For those of you that any tier of the Patreon that join, you can join us live and watch the show live. And then the next day, we will put the show out for free on our YouTube.
Absolutely. So watch us live, interact with the chat, and you can say a whole bunch of fun stuff.
And we already had to edit stuff from the show on the stream on Tuesday, the live version, to put it on YouTube. So you get exclusive,
honestly,
horrible shit.
By the end of it, we're just going to be doing it on Patreon. But you know what? That's just fine with us.
But we'll find out.
We'll just be together because apparently these platforms have standards and practices. And,
I want to speak to Twitch, though. I just want to have a free cup of coffee at Twitch offices.
We'll get that coffee. And I'll actually take one of the bananas.
Always take a snack. That's another big thing. If you guys have any meetings or something coming up where you can go in person, take anything that's free.
Absolutely.
Have that no shows shame. Power.
Well, just who cares? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Let's see. Do we have anything else? Marcus?
Last podcast merch. We got new shit coming out real soon.
We got new stuff. Yeah. Obviously, we have all the shows here. We got Top Hat. We got Kinda Fun. We got Page 7. We got Whizbrew. You know all the shows here on the LPN Network. Thank you so much for supporting us.
That's it.
Any other housekeeping?
No, I think just the first season of No Ducks in Space is in the can. So if you want to go check out our particular history of punk told through 10 bands, just find us wherever podcasts are found.
Marcus, when are you doing the Allman Brothers?
Allman Brothers probably not going to be coming up. Probably not. I appreciate them.
What the fuck? This is fucking shit. Would you do? You know what I was thinking about the other day was Duran Duran.
Actually, we might do. I love Duran Duran because I do kind of want to do. I
Flock
love
of
new
Seagulls.
Music. Not as much as Flock of Seagulls.
Honestly, though, that album's actually pretty good. The one that I ran's on is actually a really good album. I like that album because I'm also a Gary Newman fan. Newman.
Gary Newman is on the possibilities list because I'm a huge Gary Newman fan.
And
love
Gary
Newman. That's all right, I think we've annoyed Marcus enough. I love it. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail game. Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. If you got an ounce of comb left.
Oh, my. Be careful.
Just go to bed.
Watch out for the ball. Ball lightning.
Ball lightning.
Ball lightning.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
With chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. For the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.